This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And we begin with a question. What does it take to provide a sustainable civic infrastructure on the ground in a persistent war zone? Is modernism always the answer to nations trying to heal? Or are the most reliable structures of government that regrow after war and conflict the most traditional ones? Today on the program, I look at the difference between revolutionary change and social tweaking. Can the ancient practices in very traditional societies be the answer to some persistent social problems in the industrialized world, even in our own families? But in the big picture, is there an over-reliance on purely modern construction in post-war development programs? The Secretary General of NATO was sounding pretty positive last month on this program about the situation in Afghanistan, where the U.S. and NATO, who have made every mistake over the last 10 years, before finally settling into what sounded to him like a turning point.
I can tell you that 2013 will indeed be a very important year. In 2013, we will hand over lead responsibility to the Afghans in all provinces in Afghanistan. So from, I would think, around mid-2013, the Afghan will have taken lead responsibility for security all over Afghanistan.
And yet the fighting goes on. An American drone inside Pakistan has killed Malvi Nazir, a top Pakistani Taliban commander in a northwestern tribal region, according to security officials. Aggressive drone attacks from the air while flooding the ground with civilian advisors on rebuilding and upgrading village life seems to be the strategy of NATO and the Obama administration right now. Is this hard aggression, soft power approach working? We turn now to David Loin, the BBC's international development correspondent. He's recently returned from Afghanistan, talking to officials candid for the first time on their assessment over the prospects for peace. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
The headline, of course, this morning, an American drone strike takes out a Taliban commander in Pakistan. It's often been difficult determining which war is which here, the drone strikes in Afghanistan versus the apparent Taliban targets, similar, different, I can't quite tell, in Pakistan. How do you assess the significance of this latest attack and just the drone strikes generally?
Well, it's an indeterminate border. It always has been. The mountains between Pakistan and Afghanistan, really the exact frontier, has never been demarcated since the British were fighting there in the 19th century. And the Americans have had just the same problems that the British did then in order to try and pacify the area. But they do have this completely different technology. You have two different conflicts across this indeterminate frontier, boots on the ground on the Afghan side, and these pretty regular drone strikes in the northwest frontier of Pakistan. We don't know exactly the seniority of this commander, Mullah Nazir, who's been apparently killed. And often people talk up, both in London and in Washington, the seniority of individuals who are killed. But these drone strikes are certainly making a significant dent in the leadership ability of both the Taliban to fight in Afghanistan and this new force, the so-called Pakistani Taliban, who are fighting in their own country.
So what evidence is there that in some of the provinces that are outside of the back-and-forth fighting, but have always been relatively inaccessible to, you know, broad American and NATO forces, what sign is there that the civic institutions and government responsibility is really stepping up and is likely to remain post-NATO?
Well, John, I've just been for nearly a month in Helmand province in southwest Afghanistan. And I have to say, you know, I can report positive progress in a number of different areas, not just security, for the first time in the years that I've been going to Afghanistan since 2001. I mean, between 2001 and 2006-07, there were huge mistakes made by the international community, and they gave an open door to the Taliban to be able to come in and re-establish themselves and recruit. But now, for the first time in Helmand province, you're seeing a series of prosecutors, functioning courts, local informal justice, which is operating in a way that satisfies Afghan needs and provides a different kind of space for people from the Taliban. There's a very different feel to it.
And now you've got the Mohammad Naeem, the governor of Helmand, sounding very much like an anti-drug commercial in the United States. He's very much empowered to go straight at the drug lords.
Drugs are very bad, and people in Helmand have realized it. It's a cancer for them. Their young people are addicted. Farmers say they do not want to grow drugs, but there's a criminal mafia at national and international level that encourages it and pays for the insurgency. If we prevent the cultivation of poppies, then we will cut terrorism and the insurgency in Helmand.
That sounds like a new approach.
It's different. My interview with him was the first time he's spoken to any Western journalists. He was a security chief before. He was a general in what's called the NDS, I guess the equivalent of the Afghan FBI, I suppose. And as you say, he spoke very clearly and against the drug problem. Now, does he really speak for that? That's his public position, because there's a lot of speculation that he's backed by the very people who are getting rich on illegal drugs trade. But if we take him at face value, the other significant thing that he's done in the month that he has been the new governor of Helmand province is to hold a new security meeting in the area where the Taliban have been strongest in order to try and bring the local tribal warlords together and say, look, there is a different path. If you connect with the government of Afghanistan, then there may be a different future for us together. But I have to say, although I saw progress in justice, I saw progress in local government, and this very apparent hard line from the new governor, the farmers that I spoke to in Helmand, which does grow 90% of the world's illegally grown opium poppies, the source of heroin, the farmers that I spoke to said that this winter they will be planting opium poppies again because they just don't get enough profit to keep their families from any other crop.
Nevertheless, are we getting hints that sometime this decade or maybe early next decade that the new Afghanistan, the post-NATO Afghanistan, will look like a sustainable, traditional Afghanistan in its institutions of justice and village life, and will not resemble the sort of scorched earth craters that the Soviets left behind in the 90s and that the country can build from there?
Well, let's see. I mean, you traveled there in those days, John, and as you know, I've been going in and out of Afghanistan for 15, 16 years. And I have to say, on this trip, I came back with a far more positive feeling for the post-American, post-British period. From a point of view of pulling out the military, it's all working. Whether it will, when President Karzai, whether he stands down in the election in 2014, whether the Taliban are able to regroup, and whether actually the far bigger security threat and the one that tore the country apart after the Russians left, the old warlords wanting to return to the gun. I mean, I see that as a far bigger risk for Afghanistan than the Taliban. But these institutions and the government is at last beginning to emerge in Afghanistan.
David Loyne, the BBC's international development correspondent, thanks so much.
Thanks, John. It's always a pleasure.